Hello, how's everybody doing today? Good. My name is Janelle, for anyone I may not have met before. Some people around here know me as the pastor's kid. Other people know me as the worship pastor's wife, you know, the one with all the hair. And then another way that I am known is as the Kids Gate pastor here, which I know it can be scary to see a Kids Gate pastor walk on stage with a wireless mic because of the very understandable fear that I'm only up here when we need volunteers. But I want to put everyone's mind at ease that today's teaching will not be a lesson on the importance of volunteering in children's ministry. We're going to continue with Mark. But I will say before we get started that we do need teachers. And we have sign-ups at the Info Hub or the Kidsgate front desk. And I know teaching on a Sunday morning might not sound like the most fun thing to do, but I'm up here doing it. And it's not like I'm crying about it in front of you or anything. Now, it's been a while since I've been up here and taught, and you might notice something different about me. Not so much like here or here, but like right here. I'm currently 32 weeks pregnant, which is like 8 months. Yeah. And I'm standing up. And I might not be the first woman speaker at Eastgate, but I am the first pregnant speaker at Eastgate. So I always have to try to be the first in something. The first trimester of my pregnancy was really difficult because I wasn't allowed to tell everybody that I was pregnant. And those who know me know that I am terrible at keeping secrets. In fact, usually when I'm getting to know someone, I try to tell them very quickly, don't trust me with any valuable information because it's not going to go well. Now, obviously, being in ministry, I know to keep people's information private that they share with me. So I'm not talking about that. What I am talking about are like the fun secrets, like birthday presents, engagements, surprise parties, pregnancies. I'm trying to think of other things I've ruined, but you get the idea. A week before I found out I was pregnant, and this is real, I really did this, I went to a couple of my friends, and I don't know if my husband knows I did this, but I did, and I said, I'm taking a pregnancy test next week, so I won't be allowed to tell you if it's positive. See, my friend's nodding because she knows I did this to her. I said, but you'll know if it's negative by Wednesday. So if you don't hear anything on Wednesday, you know what that means. And so then Matt would be like, did you tell so-and-so you were pregnant? I'd be like, nope, I did not tell them I was pregnant. I would also try to sneakily tell as many people as I could during the first trimester because they would walk by me and be like, hey, Janelle, how you doing? I'd be like, oh, I'm good. I've just been really tired and been throwing up a lot. And we know it's not contagious or the stomach bug. And I kind of look at them, you know, and sometimes I feel like they would get it, and other times I feel like they're like, why are you sharing so much information? I just meant like, how are you doing? Let me walk away now. Anyway, it was fun. I kind of miss it. But part of today's passage that we're going to be going over in Mark, we'll talk about Jesus healing someone and then immediately afterwards saying, do not tell anyone what I just did. He's essentially, it kind of comes across as telling them to keep it a secret. It's a group of verses that I think can be confusing because we often think Jesus wants us to be out there preaching the gospel and sharing what he has done. So why would Jesus tell someone not to shout from the rooftops what Jesus can do? Well, we'll dig into the passage today and see what we can find out. Jesus spent the last several verses in this chapter healing people from all over. We've learned from the Gospel of Mark that there isn't a lot of fluff or time wasted in his telling of the story of Jesus, because before we've even left chapter 1, Jesus' ministry has already begun. So picking up where we left off last week, we're going to go start reading Mark 1, 35 through 37. So before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, hey, everyone's looking for you. So before we get too far into the section, I kind of want to stop here and talk about these first two verses. Jesus' whole ministry will be spent showing us how we can live out the life that God intended for us. He isn't just God showing up on the scene to show off what he alone is capable of doing, but he is God showing up on the scene to show us what we are capable of doing through him alone. We want to be thinking of this in the big picture way that Jesus was thinking about it. His ministry is essentially drawing a map for us to follow. And the first stop on that map is prayer. The Gospel of Mark includes three times of prayer, intentional prayer in Jesus' ministry. One at the beginning, one we just read. One in the middle when people were trying to take Jesus by force and make him king. And one at the end, the final prayer near the conclusion when Jesus is in Gethsemane asking the Father to take his cup away. Prayer at the beginning, prayer in the middle, prayer at the end, and prayer throughout. That's how important prayer is to Jesus' ministry and how important it should be in our lives as we try to live out the best that God has for us, the best that we can be as individuals. Now, in a moment of honesty here, we come across prayer as being emphasized so much in the gospel and throughout the Bible that it can feel natural to gloss over this point or feel like, yeah, prayer is important. Super groundbreaking, Janelle. Where did you say your dad was again? I didn't say. So, you know what I feel is the best comparison for people trying to get us to pray more? It reminds me of people who go to the gym or exercise a lot, and they're doing it all the time, and they're constantly trying to convince us that exercise really does make our life better. They can tell me 100 times, exercise is going to make you feel better about yourself, it's going to reduce stress, it's going to keep you healthy. And often my response to those people is, I don't really care about that stuff. And then late, sometimes at night when I'm sitting on my couch and I'm eating potato chips, I wonder if that person's working out right now. And I wonder if they're right about exercise being beneficial. And I'll just keep eating chips until the bag is empty and I have a really bad stomach ache and I'll think, well, I can't possibly move or exercise now, so I guess we'll never know if they were right. We can't force other people to make good decisions. And that's speaking from experience. Trust me, I've tried many, many times. Exercise is good. Exercise is good. People trying to convince me to exercise are not bad people. In fact, they're thinking of my best and they're trying to help me get there. But the truth is, I have to make that decision for myself. Just like everyone here has to make that decision for themselves about prayer and the type of priority we make it in our life. Are we only speaking to God when we need something? What about our day are we sharing with God? Instead of bringing demands to God, are we spending time listening in prayer, trying to understand what God wants for us? Do we ever do like Jesus did in these verses, set aside time in solitude to pray? Sometimes exercising can be really frustrating because we compare ourselves to the people around us and we get discouraged and frustrated because we aren't able to lift as many weights or run as fast or work as hard as the person next to us. We can allow that to discourage us from ever trying in the first place. With exercise, we have to start small, do what we're naturally able to do, and then build on that. If we hear that someone over there is able to pray for 2 hours a day, and we barely remembered to pray like twice last week, we can tell ourselves that's because prayer's like their thing, it's not really my thing. But the truth is, prayer is everyone's thing. It doesn't have to look the same, so we can kind of take a deep breath in that, but it should be intentional, honest, and as often as possible. We have to be honest with where we're at and what we're able to do naturally and work to build on that, and not settling for contentment along the way. So let's keep reading in verses 38 through 39. But Jesus replied, "We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That's why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. In verse 37, Peter tells Jesus, "Hey, we know you're praying, and that's super great. We love it. But no one knew where you were." And Jesus does not like acknowledge their concerns or like say, "I'm so sorry, you were nervous." He's just like, "Come on, it's time to move on. We got things to do. We're going to go preach, and that's why I came." So after prayer, Jesus has a clear idea as to what comes next in his ministry. And the next thing he wanted to do was preach. So adding to the map that he's charting for us, the next stop after prayer is emphasizing the importance of preaching. Preaching the gospel and preaching out of the Bible are a pretty significant part of ministry today and should hopefully be a significant part of our own lives. This is another idea that could be tempting to gloss over, because we could easily respond with, yeah, preaching's good. Hello, I'm sitting here listening to you. Good job, me. But I don't think these verses mean that every person has to be in front of a church to be doing what Jesus did. Jesus preached the good news everywhere he went, and the disciples supported him. After Jesus was gone, the disciples could have easily been like, well, preaching was kind of Jesus's thing, so let's just be respectful and think about the stuff he did. I'm thinking about it right now. No, they picked up the mantle and they continued preaching. And that's what our job as modern day disciples is, to continue preaching the good news and going wherever we can to share what Jesus has done in our lives. We are encouraged to share with others what Jesus has done, what he is doing, and our anchor for those beliefs, which is found in the Bible. And there are certain churches, religions, cults, etc., that make it to where you have to achieve a certain level of spirituality or take these certain steps to understand or be able to hear the full truth of what God or whatever being they worship has to offer. Jesus never had any prerequisites before ministering to people. If you're ever in a situation where someone says you have to do X, Y, or Z before you can hear the truth, then do yourself a favor and run the other way. Jesus did not require it then, and he does not require it today. Jesus wants everyone to hear about him and what can be restored in that life, in their life, in our lives. That's why he uses everyone to share the news. We don't have to wait in line to hear about this truth that only certain people know. This is powerful news that has been allowed to spread like wildfire. And not just through those that we think God has chosen to be extra spiritual or amazing, but through every person that believes. Emphasizing that within the church here has been something we've been trying to do lately. It's part of why we have a couple different small groups going on with Missional Essentials, going through that Missional Essentials book. It's learning how we can be expanding God's kingdom in our everyday lives where God has placed us today, whether it's with our children that we're raising, at our jobs, at school, at work, wherever it is, God can use us in those places. So let's read verses 40 through 45. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him. So some context for these verses. People with leprosy had a pretty horrible life. Big shocker. But leprosy was used to describe a variety of skin problems. So we don't know exactly which one this person had. So if that matters to you, then I'm sorry. Lepers were required to shout that they were unclean when they came near people, because what they had was probably highly contagious, and also resulted in Jewish people being considered ceremonially unclean if they got too close to them. So they had to shout that they were unclean as they got near people. They had to stay within 50 paces of people. They had to leave their hair unkempt, their clothing torn, and they were not allowed to live near town. They were referred to as the walking dead. And they were obviously given that title because people in Jesus's time were known to be obsessed with the popular TV show. And the lepers were like, oh my gosh, they look just like the zombies from that show. So anyway, if you don't believe me, you can Google that and find out that I just made it up. So can you imagine being thought of as that? Can you imagine that type of life? The loneliness of missing your friends and family? What about not just having a place in society, but not having a place in the entire world? People are essentially waiting for you to die so they can take a deep breath and know you won't harm them anymore. The fact that this man got close enough to Jesus to speak to him was a big time no-no. But this guy doesn't just get close enough for Jesus to hear him. He gets close enough for Jesus to touch him. I wonder what the disciples did at that point. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't say. But I mean, with the rules that they had growing up, did they back away? Were they like, no, I'm not going to get unclean? Or did they stay? Did some of them leave? Some of them stay? I don't know. I think it's interesting to note that the leper says, if you are willing. The statement implies so much because he's not just saying to Jesus, if you're able, if you think you can, if you are who they say you are, he says, if you're willing, implying that he already believes Jesus is capable of doing this. I love Jesus' response because he responds by saying, I am willing. He found this unclean man, this man who was the walking dead, worthy of change. He found this man worthy of hope. And he found this man worthy of healing. Now, we could hear this story and think, well, good for this guy way back then, but healings don't really happen like that these days. What about my friend with cancer who needed healing? What about my friend who couldn't have a child? What about my parents who were sick? Why did this leper get healed and not everybody and not all of them? How many times have I asked God for healing with myself or someone I know and he didn't answer the prayer? So let's think about this for a second. How many times have we asked for God's healing just within our own lives, like for us personally? Like, God, please help this headache go away. Please heal me. And then maybe later that week, God, please help this cold go away. Please heal me. Getting healed physically is rarely a one-time fix-all. We are not getting healed for something and then never suffering physical pain or struggles again, are we? Physical healing can be life-changing, like it was for this leper. But physical healing can only take us so far. What we all need, and that's something that's offered to all of us, is a spiritual healing that lasts forever. Physical healing is not a bad thing. In fact, it's a wonderful thing, and I'm so, so thankful when God does it for people. But it is not enough. I believe this leper was a real person that really lived and was really healed. But I also believe that this leper serves as a fantastic metaphor that can apply to all of us today. I mean, isn't he like us before we found Jesus? We're unclean. We were without hope. We were living on the outside of God's kingdom, unable to enter. And in some ways, weren't we like the walking dead? And what is it that we have to do to become saved? We have to believe in Jesus, just like this leper did. We have to believe that he's able to save us. And we're left to ask the same thing that this leper, this untouchable waste of time, was left to ask. We are left to ask, are you willing? Jesus, are you willing even for me? Because I need the kind of healing that does not wear off. I need the kind of healing that can't be changed or broken. Can you heal me from the inside out? Jesus, are you willing? And just like with prayer and exercise, we can't force people to decide that. Everyone has to decide that for themselves. We all do. I'm sure the leper was quite aware of the consequences of what he was doing. Was not without punishment, but he did it anyway. He took those steps towards Jesus because honestly, what else did he have in life anyway? What else was there to live for? After Jesus healed this man, he gave him a stern warning to not tell others what Jesus had done, but instead go to the temple and get cleansed through the proper channels that are in place. And apparently, the Greek word for stern warning is like, yeah, it's a pretty serious warning. I think of it like when your parents are really serious and kind of upset and they kind of look you intently in the eye and they have that tone of voice that they don't normally use. I hate when my dad gets like that. I feel like most of my childhood and honestly like adulthood is spent trying to avoid that voice as often as possible. But anyway, imagine Jesus speaking to him like that. Leviticus, which is a book that Jesus, his disciples, and probably even the leper were familiar with, had very specific instructions on how to make yourself clean, even for a leper who's trying to get clean after being healed. So what Jesus was telling this man to do, to go to the disciples, become clean through the system in place, would not have been surprising to the disciples and maybe not even the leper. Like, yeah, that makes sense. That's a logical next step. Jesus telling him not to tell anyone, however, does kind of confuse us because it's not super clear as to why. What we do know for sure is that the leper does exactly what I probably would have done, which is run and tell everybody right away. Which I think it's... Sorry, I keep losing my spots. Which I think it's interesting that this leper spreading the good news of what Jesus did is not considered a good thing in this passage. I mean, we just spent like 10 minutes talking about how the importance of preaching is really important. And here Jesus is two verses later saying, like, don't do it. Isn't that exactly what we should be doing? So why is it that this is considered a bad thing all of a sudden? Well, there's a bunch of different theories as to why Jesus may have told him not to do that. We definitely get the sense at the very least that Jesus did not want to draw too much attention to his ministry at this point. Some people think that maybe he was trying to avoid the eyes of the leadership in the Jewish communities. He didn't want the priests to be questioning what he was doing and make them angry before they needed to be. Another thought is because Jesus didn't simply want people just following him around and trying to be a part of his ministry in the hopes of getting healed physically in some capacity. Jesus wanted people to seek him and not the sensational stuff that was following the ministry. My personal belief on this is that we don't know for sure, and to me, it doesn't really matter a whole lot, and this is why. Because sometimes God is going to ask us to do things that we don't like and we don't understand. It's not our job to understand and then obey. It's our job to trust God and obey. Trust, I don't like it, I don't get it, I don't understand it, but I trust you, God. I know you have what's best for me, so I'm going to do it anyway. Maybe it's nice for God when we trust him and say, I don't know why you want me to do this thing, but I'll do it because you asked. This leper was doing what, on the outside, would look like a perfectly acceptable thing to do. Tell others what Jesus has done. However, Jesus asked this man to do it a different way. In fact, Jesus says after telling him to go to the priest and follow these steps, he says, this is what's going to be your public testimony, that you have been cleansed. Jesus was not trying to hide the fact that he healed this man, but he had a specific plan for this leper that was not followed. What Dad talked about last week, he said, healing can't just be for the sake of healing. It has to be healing with a purpose. Jesus provided this man with a specific purpose, and this man chose to do things his own way instead. As a result, Jesus had to stay out of the villages because the crowds were so massive. Isn't it interesting that Jesus has essentially switched places with this leper? Jesus is now the one on the outside of town. Jesus' presence is announced when he enters town and gets close to people. Jesus is the one isolated while the other man is now within community. But that substitution fits perfectly within the larger narrative that Mark is telling us in this gospel. Jesus was always meant to take our place, giving his own life so that we could live. This is the map that Jesus has laid out for us. It's up to each of us to personally decide to take that first step. Do we take that step like the leper did and move towards Jesus? The examples that Jesus gives us in this passage are so incredibly simple. And I think it's why they're easy to gloss over. But I think they're incredibly challenging to live out. We can ask ourselves, what has Jesus asked me to do? Am I doing it? What are the things that we know Jesus has prompted us and moved us to do in our own lives? Or that we know Jesus has asked us to surrender? Are we doing that? Are we putting it off? That's something I would do. Are we thinking that maybe we know better about timing and how it should look? Maybe this is the day we can hear our King's command and challenge to obedience in prayer and sharing our story and embracing the fullness of the lifelong cleansing that Jesus offers everyone. Okay? I'm done. We did it. I try to be fast. All right. Does he pray? Okay, let's pray. I'm into that as well. Jesus, I thank you so much for this community, and I thank you for the ministry that you led and the example that we get to follow, that we don't have to just wander around being confused as to what you want from our life. I thank you for the healing that's offered to all of us, the healing that lasts forever. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.